Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Way Back Playback, episode number 318. As this week, we bring you the conclusion of WCW Starrcade 1991. Hello, you people. I am Pat McNeil. Normally, I am joined by the other half of the Tag Team Champions of Time and Space, Mr. Jim Valley. Filling in for Jim this week, as he does a lot, is Ken Banks, our sponsor and the owner of Ken and Tech's Pet Care of Bangor, Maine. Ken, are you ready to hop into the Wayback Machine and relive the greatest Battle Bowl of all time?
I have literally never been more ready for anything in my life.
Well, that's kind of frightening, but okay, I can live with that. All right, so hold on, I'm going to find, let me go ahead and pull up all the stuff we need to talk about. All right, so obviously, as many of you know, we can visit us on Patreon, patreon.com/waybackplayback, and we have a record number of people on Patreon, and hopefully we'll get more in the coming weeks. That'll be, I'm looking forward to that. Now, I'm trying to look up the latest inspirational message from Kerry Valley about Jim and his status. So just give me a second here, because, not that, that's not it. All right. I'm sorry. We did get an update from Jim, I want to say on Thursday. So let me go ahead and pull this. Here we go. Jim Valley top. All right. Yeah, there was a GoFundMe for Jim. Josh Nason put it together. From Josh is somebody from the Wrestling Observer. So, and that's been up there. Let's see. Just type in GoFundMe and Jim Valley. Ken, this fundraiser thus far, and it's been up for less than a week as of this writing, $46,202 raised for Jim and Kerry. I don't know how much 6.5 weeks of being in the ICU cost. I imagine it's pricey, but this is going to help a bit, I believe.
Yeah, hopefully so. I would imagine that costs more than say a couple thousand bucks.
Yes. So okay. A lot of Jim Valley fans out there, including, I know, Tony Schiavone gave, Chris Jericho did, a lot of people gave anonymously, but yeah, it's still up there. And, here we go. Okay. Here's the latest from, Kerry, I believe, which I went ahead and put on up on the Twitter at, Real Pat McNeil. You'll find it. Okay. Let's see. All right, here we go. All right. The past 6.5 weeks have been an emotional roller coaster with Jim Valley fighting for his life in the ICU. This is from Kerry. Every time the phone rang at night, my stomach would lurch. This week has finally shown progress in the correct direction. Our hope is he will be transferred within a week to a long-stay hospital. He will have more one-on-one care, including dialysis, trach care, physical therapy, OT. I don't know what OT is, but it's probably some other type of therapy, speech therapy, etc. I'm grateful to have health insurance, but also know our out-of-pocket expenses will be astronomical. Yeah, it's a hospital. American hospitals are not cheap.
Yeah.
Even if you have insurance, it only helps so much. Thanks to everyone who has donated. You each have a special place in our hearts. So yeah, that's from Kerry, and we really want Jim Valley back. In fact, I believe, let me pull this up. It says, what is it? GoFundMe dash. Hold on, shoot. I share it with people. Okay, yeah. Let me try this again. You just type in, just go to our Twitter and go to my Twitter or Scott Fishman's Twitter, and and probably Brian Al, or probably a lot of people's Twitters, and you'll find it there. It's Jim Valley. You know him. And, almost 1,000 people have donated, Ken. So I know it's mind-boggling.
Yeah.
So a lot of good being, and
if anybody,
and I'd say a lot of them, a lot of them probably know him from Wrestling Observer Radio and may not have heard this podcast. Well, if so, hi, welcome. It's better when Jim is on it. No offense to Ken,
certainly is.
Okay. Let's see. Okay. Now, ratings news, probably the big ratings news is our friends at Chartable. We are now in an 18th country because Chartable said that this past week we have charted in the nation of China, or as the president calls it, China, for the first time. China, the home of the coronavirus and TikTok and all that good stuff. So
yeah,
yes. But we are one of the 6,000 most listened to podcasts in China. I don't know how that is possible. Also, we got back on the charts in France and Brazil. So I want to thank John Schuyler for that. Clearly, he's big in France, Brazil, and oh no, not France. We were on in France, weren't we? Definitely Brazil, though. Yeah. Yes. Big, big, big happenings in Brazil. Okay, so let's pick things up here. This is the part going into week three where we normally go over the reviews of the show, and I'm more than slightly unprepared for this, so I'm going to go ahead and pull this off of the tablet. Yes, okay, so the Wrestling Observer crowd, not big fans of Starrcade 91, the Battle Bowl, the Lethal Lottery. 11% thumbs up, 72% thumbs down, and 16% thumbs in the middle. That's not good. Dave Meltzer.
What do they really know?
I don't know. These are the listeners. Now, Dave Meltzer said that the two matches were tied in the best match of the show poll, and both of them were matches in the second hour. The Arn Anderson, Lex Luger versus Z-Man and Terry Taylor match, and the Sting and Abdullah versus Brian Pillman and Bobby Eaton match. So those are, yeah. And I'm not going to complain about that. That seems fair. Let's see. Okay, here we go. Let's see. So, yeah. I don't know what Dave's version of the worst match of the show is. Actually, I think we're going to see the worst. Well, hold on. Let's see. All right. The worst match of the show, according to the Wrestling Observer's Dave Meltzer, was the Battle Bowl Battle Royal itself.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I thought it would be Kazmaier and Jushin Liger.
No, actually, let me see. Kazmaier and Jushin Liger drew a perfectly respectable 3/4 star.
Nice.
Now, when I'm saying this, the Battle Bowl has the 20-man Battle Royal and then the last two fight in an actual match. And I think TNA did that at some point as well. So,
yeah. I remember
that. Yeah. Dave Meltzer, I've always thought the blind draw tag match gimmick is a great one for a special television show or a Clash of Champions because it's an easy way to set up new angles between partners or rivals drawn blindly. I think I said this on both of the last episodes. I was against it on pay-per-view from the start because of the lack of specific matchups to sell the event. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. And, yeah.
Makes sense.
That does make sense. As many of you know, we're available on Patreon at patreon.com/waybackplayback. And you're saying to yourself, Pat, you know, the show is free. Why would we need to join a Patreon? Well, I'll tell you, and Ken will tell you too. For as low as $4.50 a month, you get access to all of the episodes of Wayback Playback, including the ones from when we were behind the paywall, which were not previously available. And our new episodes, you get them in advance, and you get them without commercials. Ken, isn't that valuable?
Ken? That is absolutely valuable, Pat. Especially for, you know, for somebody like you and somebody like Jim Valley, two guys that work so hard on this for so long. It's a pittance, really. They're not asking for much.
Yes. Now, those of you on our Black Scorpion tier, we do bonus material for. For example, Ken and I just recorded the first part of a bonus episode, which we're creating, WWF Superstars from 1992. And who wouldn't want to hear our opinion of the Legion of Doom taking on Dwayne Gill and Barry Hardy?
You are not going to want to miss that, folks. Good Lord.
Mm. Yes, and also we are getting down to the last set of episodes that we have to put up, and then we'll have all of them up here. Just put up WCW Starrcade 1999, episodes 108 through 110, which not only featured, one of the god-awful wrestling shows that led to the death of WCW, but we also had a run-in from our good friend, the Disco Inferno, Glenn Gilberti, explaining the terrible angle that he was in and how he nearly got suffocated and died because of the stupidity of WCW. So that was good.
Disco, poor guy.
He's doing okay now. Plus, we did a bonus, patron bonus match Ken and I did from a Ring of Honor show in 2002. We got we got Starrcade 90 up with the Black Scorpion, and you know our fans love the Black Scorpion. Some people love him irrationally. In fact,
I've been saying for years that nobody has enough Black Scorpion in their life. Truly,
that's
there's
true.
Always room for more Black Scorpion.
Black Scorpion's like Jell-O. Also, if you missed us
exactly.
Doing the 1998 Royal Rumble, which was the the big launch of Stone Cold and had Mike Tyson there. You'll want to be a part of that. We're going to be putting up the very special Christmas episode that we did a few years back, episode 68, a Mid-South Christmas, where we also did the Wrestle Rock Rumble for the first time. And yeah, I know. All
happy,
sorts of memories.
Happy holidays, folks.
And yeah, and we'll be wrapping up, and this week we're going to be putting up Wrestle Rock itself. And that was an incredible 4 hours that Jim and I did. So if you miss Jim, if you want more Wayback Playback, if you want bonus material, there's multiple tiers. Check it out, patreon.com/waybackplayback. All right, I'm going to wait for this. I'm going to wait for the PW Torch website to finish spinning here. And while we do that, let's get back to the show. We're at 1 hour, 45 minutes, and 43 seconds, Ken. And I see a picture, and I see Tony Schiavone sitting next to pointing Jim Ross.
Yep. That's the pointing Jim Ross, and Tony Schiavone has quite the expression on his face right there, doesn't he?
Yes. You remember that episode of Friends where Joey was giving acting lessons to people?
Yes, I do.
That's what Tony Schiavone's face looks like. Okay. Hi, Tony. Hi, Tony. Love you. Thanks for donating $1,000 to Jim. Okay. Ready, everybody? We're gonna hit play together in 3, 2, 1. Okay. All right. Yes, Lethal Leap Year, Starcade, Super Bowl II, they're still talking about it. But we still have a couple more big matches to go, Ken. Now, 16 people thus far have qualified for Battle Bowl, and you missed last week's episode, so I'll fill you in. Big Van Vader, Mr. Hughes, Sting, Abdullah the Butcher, Ricky Steamboat, Todd Champion, Lex Luger, Arn Anderson, Jushin Liger, Bill Kazmaier, you know, Dustin Rhodes, Ricky Morton, Rick Rude, Steve Austin, Jimmy Garvin and Buff Bagwell. All right, first up for this next tag match, Scott Steiner and his partner, Firebreaker Chip, Curtis Thompson.
Yes. Now, I was only 15 at the time of this pay-per-view, but I remember it like it was yesterday. If I remember correctly, Abdullah the Butcher and Sting got along really well.
That's already happened on our last episode, yeah. And their opponents are going to be Johnny B. Badd and Arachnaman. We now pause 10 seconds for the Arachnaman theme song, if I can remember it. Arachnaman, Arachnaman, looks a whole lot like Spider-Man. Spins a web, wrestles too. Marvel Comics is gonna sue. Hey there, there goes Arachnaman. Okay. Yeah, we had fun back in the day, yes. Arachnaman, for those of you who are interested, is Brad Armstrong in a stupid costume. I think even the late Brad Armstrong would agree that it was a stupid costume.
Did we ever get that dream match between Arachnaman and Bad Street?
No, I don't think we did. That would have been something, though. They could have done that. They just could have put another Armstrong in as one of them. I mean, that's all you do.
Sure, would have been fine.
Yeah. All right, here we go. So, yes, I did have the privilege in college radio days of interviewing Curtis Thompson, a.k.a. Firebreaker Chip. When he was on a
No, no kidding.
Show. Yes, I did. And he started, And he, of course, started talking a whole bunch of garbage about, you know, how popular he was and how he was undefeated in 1 year of WCW. And I was like, okay, really? Okay.
I'm sure. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Bobby, you know, Curtis Thompson, he was a enhancement guy. Worked all over the place, mostly as an enhancement guy for WCW, and they needed a firebreaker, I guess, so he was chosen.
Those are some nice looking Japanese arm drags he was throwing. I'll give him that much.
Oh yeah, I mean him as a wrestler wasn't really the problem. It was the gimmick is kind of stupid. You know, there is such a thing as a firebreaker, but it sounds like it's made up. I think the plan was. Please go ahead.
No, I was just going to say he couldn't legally call himself like a firefighter on air, right? Is that what it was?
I think a firebreaker is actually the guy who's supposed to clear like a break in the tree line to help stop a forest fire. So it's an actual.
I see.
It's an actual thing. That's the amazing part. Okay. The story, as I remember it, and I might be wrong, is that. you know, this was 1991, and TBS and Turner owned WCW. So they were, so you're familiar with Captain Planet and the Planeteers, right?
Are you kidding me? I can sing the theme song to this day.
Everybody could, because it was on right before Saturday Night Wrestling on TBS.
That's right.
I'm not going to ask you to sing it, though.
Okay. Well, I just remember he was going to take pollution down to zero.
Yes, so. He was. Okay, yes. So the idea was to create the WCW Patriots would be a team kind of like Captain Planet and the Planeteers, except they only got to the first two, and they're like, nah, that's enough. It was going to be a stable.
Good God.
I wish I was kidding. Yes.
Were they going to have like a forest ranger in this stable as well? Like, how is this going to work?
The Patriots are like, they also said that they were from the WCW Special Forces. I don't remember there ever being a WCW Special Forces.
That's probably for the best.
He also had two tryout matches with WWF. They never hired him. So.
Shocking.
I know. I mean, yeah. I mean, of the two, obviously Curtis Thompson, the better wrestler. I mean, there's just no
right
question about that.
Oh yeah, just a few minutes ago when he was in there, he was agile as heck. He moved around the ring really well, whole nine yards.
Well, at this point, he's 28 years old. So,
and oh wow,
yeah, so definitely young. Had a let's see. Okay, worked in Puerto Rico under a mask as the White Angel. All right, then he was the U.S. Male Curtis Thompson, M-A-L-E. He wore a mailman's uniform. This was in USWA. And then in South Atlantic, he was a member of the Stud Stable. Robert Fuller Stud Stable, yeah. Okay. Okay, his gimmick was that he had just returned from Desert Storm. And he was a firebreaker.
Aha. Okay.
Okay, then he went back into wrestling and body. After WCW, went back into wrestling and bodybuilding. He did very well in the Mr. North Carolina Bodybuilding Contest. They don't say how well. Wrestled briefly in Smoky Mountain, like people did. Let's see. Wrestled in Texas. Worked NWA Mid-Atlantic. Oh, well, he went in NWA Mid-Atlantic. He and Drake Dawson won the NWA World Tag Team titles in 1999, back when they meant absolutely nothing.
I was going to say when they were at their zenith.
Yes. So Wikipedia says he retired in 2005, is married, and now works for JetBlue. So maybe Frank knows him, Frank Petiani of the Torch.
There you go.
That's great.
And now, at the time of Battle Bowl, he is forming a tag team with Scott Steiner, better known as the Testosterone Express.
Yes. Well, Scott Steiner's in a whole category of his own when it comes to testosterone.
He certainly is. I mean, they are jacked to the gills, yes. These two.
And while we're waiting, perhaps we could say a few words about Ken and Tech's pet care of Bangor, Maine, Ken, because that's the absolute top of the line pet care in the Bangor, Maine area. Go to kenandtech.com, KENANDTEK.com. What?
You want to talk over this match with a plug, Pat?
Oh, you know what? Maybe we could save it for the Battle Royal itself.
No. Kenandtech.com, KENANDTEK. Currently, as we're filming this, actually, I am surrounded by six dogs that I care for. Let's see. We've got Ikey, Lady, Old Man Leonard, Sabaka, Rosie, and Scout. We're all getting along great. They're actually all falling asleep. What I do as part of my job, I do a lot of overnight pet sitting, such as I'm doing tonight, but my days are filled up with dog walking pretty much from morning to morning till night, 8 or 10 hours a day. I also check in on cats. Today I was checking in on some hens. I do it all, Pat. What can I say? Find me on Facebook. Find me on Twitter, KENANDTEK, kenandtech.com, Ken and Tech's Pet Care, Bangor, Maine.
Yes. Oh, now that's a wonderful little short powerbomb movie does. And the hot tag to the firebreaker, who's coming in. And I would like to point out, by the way, that Chip didn't start the fire. He didn't start. Never mind. 1991. It was funny, I swear. All right. Here comes. Okay, Arachnoman. Yes, he's. I like the Spider-Man type of, you know, shifty moveset.
Yeah. Is he quipping while he does all these things? Like,
I can't hear him, so no. Quipping is an important... Well, that's one way they can distinguish him from Spider-Man. Arachnoman is silent.
Oh, there you go. Arachnoman is the strong, silent type.
Yes. And his mask sort of... it looks like it opens at the top for some reason.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. That's an interesting take.
That's unusual. Yes.
Yeah.
I also remember that this theme song was a pretty good ripoff of one of the Joe Satriani songs from Surfing with the Alien. Yeah. That was probably the most interesting thing about the character. Well, that and he would shoot off webs originally when he came to the ring. He would he'd shoot out the paper streamer. He'd basically throw the paper streamers so that they looked like he was shooting webs.
I totally remember that.
And that of course was ripped off by Ring of Honor.
I see.
That's a joke. That part.
So whenever they needed, whenever some genius in upper management thought of a fun masked wrestler, that was pretty much Brad Armstrong's job.
Yeah, every time, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I should probably. There's got to be a place where they have a list of all the masked gimmicks that Brad Armstrong did, because there were a lot of them.
I would think.
Brad Armstrong also was a commentator briefly when for the ECW revival on WWE. You may not have remembered.
Was he really?
Yes, he was. Yes, briefly, I say. He wasn't bad either.
No, but not whatsoever.
But nobody was watching. It's like it would be like if it's like being the commentator for 205 Live or Impact.
That's right. I always read that he had a really funny sense of humor backstage. Like all the other guys thought that he was hilarious. It just didn't come across on television.
Well, the other thing about him is, his character. Remember when they gave him the character of Buzzkill?
Yes, I do.
Yes. He apparently liked to smoke some of the weed.
I know that's hard to believe. Okay.
I know that's hard to believe that Russell would do that, but yeah. Okay, let's see. The Candyman Brad Armstrong. That was horrible, by the way.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I don't have a list. Where's the list of all the masked wrestlers he did? Because there were just so many of them. Let's see.
Probably a lot of them have been lost to history on house shows and. Things of
no, they do it a lot on TV tapings though. Brad Armstrong gimmicks, I need to look at the Brad Armstrong gimmicks. But we've touched on two of them: Arachnoman and Bad Street or Brad Street as they used to call him in the newsletter.
That's right. I mean, you know what? If nothing else, it really does, and I mean this, it speaks to his versatility and skill as a worker because, he could do pretty much anything you ask. Okay.
Oh, there you go. There's one blog that has a picture of him sitting next to Joey Styles at the ECW announce desk.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Okay, but All right, let's see. He was masked man as the Freedom Fighter. That's another one.
Hmm.
Okay, yep. I don't remember that one, but let's see. Okay. Yeah, he was just one of those guys that he's not big enough to do that. Oh, sure. He was a member. It was the other member of Los Dos Hombres when after Shane Douglas quit. Yeah, that's why they did that here. Okay.
Boy, Scott Steiner was crazy over with his moves at this.
Yeah, they wanted to make him. They wanted to make him like a single star, but he didn't want to break up the team with Rick at the time.
Yeah.
All right, there's the win. Scott Steiner's in. Firebreaker Chip is in. All right. Let's see. Okay, Brad's getting Mr. It was Mr. R. That's right. Let's see. Yeah, he when Tommy Rich was banned and. Let's see. Everybody assumed it was Tommy Rich under the mask, Tommy Rich would come out with, Mr. R to show it wasn't him. And, of course, every time it was Brad Armstrong. So.
Of course it was. Okay. Yeah. I wonder if he ever did that with a yellow dog for Brian Pillman.
He could have. Yeah, I wouldn't have been. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if he did that.
Sounds like something he would have done.
Oh, he was BA in the No Limit Soldiers. My gosh. Ugh. I pity the fool. All right.
I can't believe WCW went out of business.
I know. It's hard to believe. It's staggering.
Shocking.
Well, I mean, what the Candyman handing out candy canes. I mean, that's just the dumbest thing. Okay, here's the last four wrestlers left. Ron Simmons.
This is a big deal.
What's the hold up? Bischoff forgot. There wasn't anything written on the slips of paper. So Bischoff forgot who Ron Simmons' partner was supposed to be. I'm not kidding.
Oh, is that's the truth?
That's the truth. They didn't want, you know. Tommy Rich is the partner, or Thomas Rich. Okay, Steve Armstrong. I guess I got Steve Armstrong and his of the Young Pistols and his partner, PN News. Yo, baby, yo, baby, yo.
Oh, they had the camera on for a while.
Well, yeah, because he was the last guy left who hadn't been chosen. I mean, you know, how difficult is that one to figure out? All right, PN News and Steve Armstrong. Well, obviously they're going to win. So Ron Simmons, you'll recall, loses to Lex Luger 2 out of 3 falls in the main event of Halloween Havoc, and then is taken off television, and this is his return, being in this tag match at Starrcade with Tommy Rich.
Welcome back, Ron.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Yeah, he looks thrilled to be there. Damn!
I'll tell you what, I'm picking Simmons here. I mean, yeah. He as his tag team partner, he has a former World's Heavyweight Champion.
Oh, yeah, Tommy Rich, yeah. He's past his prime.
I believe we are. No.
Yes.
No.
I don't know if I told you this story. 96, I believe I worked, or 96 or early 97, I worked an indie show he was on. I want to say 96, late 96. Yeah. So the indie show that we're doing, we had to go to Georgia because, you know, Georgia had no athletic commission at the time that covered wrestling.
Ah,
so that was nice.
Of course.
So of course, the indie promotion decides to run it in a bar, which is fine, on a Monday night in 1996. We're going to have an indie show. Are you freaking kidding me?
Well,
there's a room upstairs in this bar. And, you know, we're like 20 guys, and it's like, I guess it's like their office, and like there's 20 wrestlers fitting in there. And Tommy Rich is sitting, you know, he got the big folding chair, and he's sitting there in the center, and he's drinking beer and chain smoking nonstop for 2 hours before they go out there. And then the ring breaks before the main event, and he has to wrestle. So Tommy Rich, fantastic.
Can't be an indie show without a broken ring.
Nope. All right, there we go. Okay, so Ron, so what is Steve Armstrong doing? Hey, buddy. You know, I didn't mean anything by. Well. Yeah, Ron.
He's sporting an absolutely fabulous mullet.
Yes, he is. The mullet game is strong in 91 WCW. Whatever else you say about him. Fantastic mullet.
That's right.
I mean, I think what wrestling needs in 2020 is an all mullet stable.
I would be surprisingly down with that.
Yeah, I mean, plus you know,
I had a mullet.
I'm sure you did, but I mean, you know how so many of the wrestlers nowadays look the same. You know, you'd be able to tell right away. Oh, he's one of the mullets. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
I think it's a fantastic idea.
See, why am I not in creative? I don't know.
Really,
Ken, the reason I'm not in creative is I don't have time to run an e-fed anymore. So that's the real reason. Right hand there by Steve Armstrong. Yep. All right. Yeah, so he's Tommy Rich of the he's Thomas Rich of the Alexandra York's crew. They need him to be a heel. Tommy Rich just doesn't. I don't know. I got the impression
heel that Richard was awfully strange too.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, so good guy PN News is arguing with heel Steve Armstrong.
That's right. He believes in fair play.
That's right.
You don't hold a man's arms behind his back.
Right. So the fans have hopefully figured out this is the 10th and final tag match, and after this, we're going straight to Battle Ball.
Thank friggin' God.
Yep. Well, let's see. I'm trying to remember.
I'm not enjoying my time with you, Pat.
Oh, but no. We really enjoy doing this for you people. I'm trying to remember. I believe Steve Armstrong's WWF gimmick name was Lance Cassidy.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. Not to be confused with Leaf Cassidy, who was a member of the New Rockers.
That was Al Snow, was it not?
Yes, it was. Because Al Snow looks so much like a rocker.
well...
So yeah, Steve Armstrong worked in New Japan, right? See, mostly teaming with, and he and Tracy Smothers teamed there. Let's see. Then they brought their team to WCW as the Southern Boys, and then the Young Pistols, and then came 1992. He becomes Lance Cassidy as a cowboy babyface. Let's see. Got some house show victories and was gone January 93. Then he signs for Smoky Mountain because, well, he's a member of the Armstrong family and. Any member
That's
of the
right.
Armstrong family is welcome at Smoky Mountain. And
That's
feud,
right.
Where he is best known for his feud with Buddy Landell. And then returning to WCW in 1995, and he and Scott Armstrong form a tag team. Let's see. Okay. And let's see. Then he appeared in World War III, 1995, the first World War III battle royal.
Oh, my.
Hey.
That was like Battle Bowl on steroids.
Yes. Yeah. Don't. We shouldn't give the listeners any idea. Okay.
That's right.
So after 4 months in WCW, the Armstrong brothers would gain their first televised win over the team of Bill Payne and Rick Tames. Oh my goodness. Okay. That's. Yep. Then
Bill
then,
Payne. Sounds
not
familiar.
Bull Payne. Not Bull Payne. Bill Payne.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking of. Okay.
Okay. Wow. All right. After that, then they defeated the Southern Posse on Worldwide. Oh, God. Let's see. All right. And they were involved. Oh, my God. Jeez. Wow. This is just November 30th, 1998. The Armstrong brothers enjoyed the biggest victory of their WCW career when they upset Raven and Canyon on Nitro. Yay.
Oh, my.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That I do not remember.
Wow. So whoever did this for Wikipedia is incredibly thorough. I'm going to say that right now. Incredibly, incredibly thorough. All right. So success continued in 1999. Oh, my gosh. Let's see. Okay. They made their last appearance. They finally got a tag team title shot March 1st, 2000, and they lost to the Mamalukes. Well, that's just too bad. Yes. Made a few indie appearances through 2005, worked as the Bullet for TNA Wrestling in the IR angle when Bob Armstrong came in. Oh, let's see. Okay. Had a tag, the Great American Wrestling Federation, he and teamed with Bob Armstrong in some match there. Okay. That's about all I have. That's more than enough Steve Armstrong, though.
That brought us up to speed nicely. Thank
that's
you,
the
Pat.
Steve Armstrong compendium, I'm going to say.
That's right, and he would, yeah, and he is attacking Tommy Rich illegally with Tommy Rich's own wrist tape.
Mike Adkins, your referee.
Yes. Yep.
All right, and the hot tag to Ron Simmons. Ron Simmons is like, I'm just waiting for Ron Simmons to go, damn. It's like every 5 seconds. Yeah. Okay.
You're gonna have to wait like 7 more years or
probably,
something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah. Why is it? Why is he arguing with Tommy Rich? Tommy Rich needed a tag. He tagged Ron Simmons. What's the big deal?
I think Ron Simmons is upset that Tommy Rich tried cheating with his wrist tape.
Yeah, but he was unsuccessful. Steve Armstrong was the better cheater.
Ron Simmons believes in fair play.
That's right.
That's right.
Except for that time he nailed Ahmed Johnson from behind in the kidneys.
Yeah, well.
Okay. I know nobody's perfect. There's a clothesline. Two! All right. Hot tech still to come, the Battle Bowl. And, of course, we'll get to the Tommy part where Rich. We pick next week's episodes. Yeah, Tommy Rich. Tommy Rich, you know, he knew his stuff. I mean, there's no doubt he's a, you know, there's no doubt he's a really good wrestler. I mean, even the guys on the undercard, you know, had experience and mostly knew what to do out there. I say that realizing that we saw Todd Champion on the last episode.
Right.
Yeah. Still.
No, but you're right. I mean, everybody knew how to work, so to speak, you know, except like Bill Kazmaier and, you know.
Bill Kazmaier wasn't a wrestler there. He was a strongman they trained to wrestle. Yeah.
Precisely.
And they kept Kazmaier stuff simple for the most part.
So. Yeah, they did.
Wow, that was a flying clothesline by PN News.
That sure was.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, it's the fans are chanting, "We want Ron," so. And,
well,
yeah, I can understand that. Because they figure that the finish isn't going to happen unless Ron Simmons is in the ring, because there's no way PN News and Steve Armstrong are going to advance to Battle Bowl.
Probably not.
Oh.
Tommy Rich is the absolute best shape of his life here.
Oh, that was Steve Armstrong looked great there. Very smooth.
Yeah, the Armstrongs are great, man.
Yeah, I know. I don't understand the. I mean, I'm glad that Brian Armstrong, the Road Dog, you know, became a big star. I am, but you know, it's kind of unfair that the rest of the family didn't get their due. Scott Armstrong was a referee forever, so maybe, you know. So maybe he got his due as well.
I mean, Brad was pretty much the best worker of the bunch, and they were all good workers.
Yeah, Brad Armstrong was like an umpteen-time WCW light heavyweight champion, because the idea of, like, putting Brad in... Yeah, Brad's too small. Whatever.
Right. He was just a few years too early. He would fit right in now.
Yeah, exactly. Boom.
On AEW, he would be like a muscle man.
On AEW, he'd be somebody's manager, you know, at his age. But yeah,
no, I mean
modern Brad Armstrong. Yeah, he'd be perfect for AEW. Yeah.
I mean, in his prime, if you took Brad Armstrong and put him in AEW, he'd...
Yeah, the thing is, I mean, this is WCW. WWF. There's no way they'd have 10 tag team matches in a row where all of them got time.
Oh, God, right?
Yeah. Oh, shake, rattle, and roll. Very nice. And there's no way they have Tommy Rich selling for Steve Armstrong for this long. Absolutely not.
Nope.
But the fans, are the fans upset? Are they bored? Are they going to the concession stands? No. They're also not looking at their phones because they don't have phones.
That's right. I wouldn't say they're on the edges of their seats right now, but...
Yep. But they know that once this match ends, you know, it's time for the main event. And they seem perfectly happy just sitting there and, you know, waiting for it to end.
That's right. That was one heck of a jawjacker. Like, that was a real jawjacker.
I mean,
there.
Him and Terry Taylor, I think, did the best ones. Did the best ones in that era.
Oh, I was a huge fan of Terry Taylor.
We used to make fun of him.
I know.
Yeah, he didn't like that.
I bet he didn't.
No.
I only, of course, growing up in the Northeast, I didn't get a wow. I didn't get the chance
to
go.
Ron's a big pal. Oh, that was not pretty, but effective.
Oh, but effective, baby.
Ron's like, let's go home. Let's take this home. There we go. All right, brother.
Ron Simmons and Steve Corino, your winners.
That's right. Beautiful. Yeah, they actually, Tommy Rich did end up in ECW, so.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so that's it. The last two, Ron Simmons and Tommy Rich. So you got that's a pretty loaded 20-man battle royal gimmick thingy.
It sure is.
Okay, so do I need to explain? I'll try to explain the rules of the Battle Bowl Battle Royal while we have a moment. All right, so there's two rings, right?
Yeah.
20 wrestlers start off in the first ring. If you're eliminated from the Battle Royal in the first ring, you go to the other ring and start Battle Royaling over there. And it ends up the winner of the Battle Royal in the first ring takes on the winner of the Battle Royal in the second ring. And those two have a match. They don't just fight to throw each other over the top rope. They have an actual match that they have to wrestle. Yeah. Is that sinking in, Ken?
Who is the genius behind this?
Whoever it was, they booked it. They first did it in '89 for the Great American Bash there, and after setting all that up. The winners were Sid Vicious and Dad Spivey of the Skyscrapers, and they decided to split the prize money and not have the last match against each other. And that was okay, apparently.
Swerve.
I know. Shocking swerve. Okay. Yep. All right. So
maybe that will happen in this year's election. Maybe the two camps will say, you know what, screw it.
Biden and Trump will split the job, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trump will say, "Here, you know, I don't, Mike Pence, you know, I don't need him. Yeah. Come on, let's work together." Yeah, I'm not holding my breath for that one.
No, neither am I.
Okay, so yeah, Jim is running down the 20 wrestlers in the match with Tony, and Abdullah the Butcher is the biggest man in the match. Let's see, and you have smaller men like Jushin Liger and Ricky Morton. Yeah, okay, I get, and Brad Armstrong, I get it. Obviously Luger is the champion, is the favorite, and you have Rude and Sting and Dustin Rhodes and Ricky Steamboat, the tag champs. Actually, it's Steve Austin. Yeah, it's pretty good. Okay, so why are we going back to the people in the with the bingo tumbler there?
Because they're going to draw referees.
What's that?
They're going to draw referees.
Oh. Okay. No, I guess not. Okay, we're going to have the announcements of the wrestlers here. Okay. Oh, and now Gary Michael Capetta is going to try to explain the rules of Battle Bowl. Oh, I hope there's a graphic on the ring, on the screen to explain this.
I'm telling you, they just need Don West.
Don West was, Don West's the guy you need for your merch sales. I mean, whatever else he did. I think he was good as an announcer. I mean, there's no way that you can find other people to be your color commentator. You can't find another guy to shill the DVDs and t-shirts the way Don West did.
That is very, very true.
We have a James Storm's autographed baseball. Well, the James Storm autographed baseball, there's only like 500. They're collector's items. Once they're gone, you know. A special piece of the canvas from Against All Odds, 2006. And the actual ring canvas, cut up into 400 pieces. Who can ever forget the night that Kevin Nash and whatever, you know. Okay. All right, first man out is Vader. That's number one. And Vader, you know, he hasn't had the big run in WCW yet, but he's a guy that you'd put like, you know, He's like, could be a favorite in a battle royal. Why not?
Absolutely.
Buff
he's
Bagwell.
Huge.
Yes. The rookie. Jimmy Garvin. Look at all that pyro. Yeah.
Yep.
Dustin Rhodes, one half of the tag team champions. I mean, Rhodes and Steamboat should have come out together. They're the tag champs. Bill Kazmaier. Bill Kazmaier.
Ah, there we go.
Jushin Liger. All right. Jushin's like, yeah, just another night here. And, Steve Austin. Hey. He's got a little of the swagger, but he's not there yet. Ricky Morton? Oh, Richard Morton. I mean, if Richard Morton doesn't look any different than Ricky Morton, what's the point? Todd Champion.
Here comes Todd Champion.
Yes. Abdul the Butcher. Mm-hmm. Okay. And Firebreaker Chip. Yes. All right. They don't all get their individual entrances.
Now, these guys sure like to point.
Yes, they do. Well, what else do you do with it?
I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah, all right. Ricky Steamboat, hi. Ricky, you going to point? Ricky Steamboat's like, no, hi. No, Ricky's seen a TV camera before. He knows what to do.
That's right.
Yeah.
He knows who he is.
This guy, on the other hand. Oh, the director doesn't seem to know what he's doing. Curtis Hughes, hi. The Big Cat. Scott Steiner. Mm-hmm. All right, we also have the Total Package, Lex Luger. Hello, Lexi. And, of course, Harley Race. There's a manager, an actual manager coming out. And Paul Heyman's with Rick Rude. Now, why you don't have Rude and Austin come out together and with Arn, because they're all in the same stable, I don't know. I mean, what are we doing?
Yeah, it doesn't
here?
Make a lot
of sense. I mean, you know. I just got the impression, you always get the impression with WCW there wasn't anybody who thought about little stuff like that.
Right.
It was kind of like an indie promotion, in other words. And there's Sting.
An indie promotion with a budget.
Oh, where's Luger? I didn't see Luger.
I saw him walk down to the ring.
Did you? I don't know. Yeah, he's there. Well, he's there, obviously.
Huh. Yeah, he was there with Harley Race.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
down.
He was. Oh, yeah. He was in front of Rude. Okay. Never mind. Forget I said anything.
Keep your head in the game, McNeil.
Oh, you're right. Okay, let's look at the strategy. Oh there we go. Abdullah's not messing around. He's already got drool and spittle coming out.
That's right.
He knows what he's doing. Both Patriots are in there together, said Jim Ross. Thank you, Jim.
Yeah. That's why he's the best in the business.
All right. Arn Anderson. There we go. With Ricky Steamboat. Yay. Okay, so here we go. So you've got to get eliminated twice. Unless you're the guy who wins in the first ring, then you don't have to get eliminated. Well, actually, you still have to get eliminated twice, yeah.
It's double elimination, just like the arm wrestling contest and over the top.
Right. All right, there's Vader and Bill Kazmaier. Up, we got to get Bill Kazmaier up and over. Okay, well, I guess both feet hit the floor, so.
I'll admit it, Pat. That was pretty much all my over-the-top reference deserved. I understand.
Wait a minute. So doesn't Bill Kazmaier have to go to the second ring now? Jim Ross is explaining that you actually have to throw... do you actually have to throw them into the other ring? What?
I don't know, Pat.
WCW. What? You're supposed to throw them... You not only have to throw... So you can only throw them out the... You can only eliminate them throwing them out the one side where the other ring is. And you have to throw them all the way...
I don't know.
Nobody told anybody.
Get Capetta. I don't know.
Well, obviously what Capetta's got is not what, you know. Obviously there's somebody backstage going, who told Capetta that? That's not how it works.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, detail work was never WCW's strong point.
No, it really wasn't. Okay. No. So we basically don't know anything that's happening, really.
Nope, sure don't.
Okay. I can handle that. WCW.
Can you?
We don't know what we're doing. Dun, 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 dun. Okay. That's right. Okay, here we go. All right, what a beating. Well, this is, I don't know here. All right.
all the biggest stars in the business right here. I almost said in one ring, Pat. I guess technically it's in two rings, but.
All right, there you go.
Oh,
Harley, Harley's taking his tie off. Oh, Mr. Hughes is taking his tie off. Okay. Okay, so Harley and Paulie at ringside. Alexandria York nowhere to be seen, by the way.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Yes, I would say so.
I was a big fan of her act, and not just for pervy 15-year-old reasons either.
Well, yeah. No, I mean, my friends that I at Clemson, we're trying to figure out what type of laptop, you know. We brought in our one friend, Carl Bauman. And Carl, what type of laptop do you think that is? I don't know. Start trying to watch it on TV. and very disappointed. He was very disappointed the one time the camera got close enough that we could see that the laptop wasn't turned on. Because that kind of ruined it, you know?
I had a word processor when I was a teenager, but I don't think that would have made me a good sports manager.
No. Well, just like having a cell phone wouldn't have made you a good agent, so.
That's right. And if you're going to whack somebody in the head with something, you want to whack them in the head with that giant laptop.
Yeah, the very finest, yes. The very finest in whacking.
If I'm going to knock out Jason Hervey from behind, I want to hit him with a word processor, damn it.
Yep, I do. I want to hit him with a manual typewriter. Are you kidding me? I don't want to hit him with a word processor.
That's right.
There we go. All right, now the first man has been thrown into the second ring. Yes.
Oh, see? Man,
Tommy Rich is the first man to enter the second battle royal.
Yep.
Now, and JR and Tony point out, well, now Tommy Rich can rest until somebody else comes in there. Hey, I like that. That makes sense. Tommy Rich can hide under the ring for all anybody knows. I mean, geez. I'm surprised he isn't doing that.
Was there ever an extended feud between Ricky Steamboat and Arn Anderson?
I mean, only like a tag. Well, like tag team wrestling, sure.
Okay.
There was an extended feud between Ricky Steamboat and Tully Blanchard. But I don't think Arn Anderson, I don't think Ricky and Arn, I don't think Arn did a lot of things. Well, Arn didn't do that many singles feuds. He was always tagging
I'm just
somebody.
Thinking that would have produced a lot of great matches.
Yep. Yeah, it would have. But I mean, you could always break that out, you know, of whatever tag teams they were in that were feuding. You could get that any time. Okay, hold on, there we go. Yep, okay. Yep, all right. Curtis the Cat Hughes. Who don't like Curtis the Cat? Okay. Big Cat, there we go. All right.
So when you're eliminated, your tag team partner isn't eliminated too, is it?
No, that's an entirely different battle royal.
Okay.
No, your tag team partner's not eliminated. No, they're all it's every man for himself, actually.
Oh, this is so dumb.
Okay, so...
All right, so Big Cat is out of the ring there. Like, what's...
I don't think he's eliminated until he gets thrown into the other ring.
Good God.
That's dumb. Yeah, I mean, you thought the Bunkhouse Stampede was dumb, and it's dumb. This is dumb. This is amazingly dumb.
Yeah. All right. Oh, boy.
Yeah, so Big Van Vader. What's that?
Do you know what this event is missing? Two more rings.
That's right.
They should have a total.
Four rings.
Four rings, and you have to thrown from one to the other to the other to the other.
I think the National Wrestling League had like a two-ring tournament where the matches in the tournament were going on simultaneously in other rings. I'd have to go look that up, but they call it the Lord of the Rings or something like that.
We're talking about our boy John Rambo again.
Oh yes, your boy John Rambo. Yes, I don't remember all the stuff that Rambo did, but he was creative. I'll give him that.
He was an interesting man, to be sure.
Yes. Oh, look at that! Liger's supposed to catch. Well, yeah, do some Liger's. Like, yeah, just let me do some spots for crying out loud. I mean, you know. I'm here anyway. I flew all the way over from Japan for this stuff.
Let me get my stuff in.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Ow.
Whoops.
Oopsie. Well,
Morton had no idea what that was.
Just a bit outside there on that last leg, Lariat. Ricky's like, well, let's try something a little easier, guy. Ricky's,
oh,
like,
good God.
Ricky's like, no, try again. There we go.
Oh, they're Jushin both Liger gone.
And Ricky Morton. Oh, they've both been eliminated. Jushin Liger's like, wait, this is the Battle Royal?
Yeah.
Although, really, can you blame Jushin Liger for being confused about the rules? Oh, Mr. Hughes has entered the second ring for the other Battle Royal.
Oh, my. Oh, he lost his glass. Oh, no, I thought his glasses came off.
No, his suspenders. Something's wrong with one of his suspenders.
Oh, I was listening last week. It turns out he was narcoleptic, which is why he always wore the sunglasses.
Yeah, that's amazing. I did not know that. And even if he isn't, it's a great story, so I'm going to stick with it.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. Ricky Steamboat off the top rope onto Arn. There we go. Ricky and Arn are just having fun in there. Oh, Simmons and Luger. Yeah, call back there. Yeah, I'm liking this.
Reigniting their rivalry.
Reignited and it feels so good. Well, yeah, they wouldn't get a chance. They wouldn't get a chance to feud again. That's right.
Yeah, Luger was gone pretty quickly, wasn't he?
I think Simmons is gone from WCW at the time Luger comes back to WCW. So yeah. So much for that. All right, Bill Kazmaier is still in ring one. Good for him.
Sure is.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, there goes Steiner.
All right, yep. Oh, Jimmy Garvin determined. Abdullah the Butcher. Okay. Yeah. Abdullah the Butcher didn't make it all the way into ring two, but Tony Schiavone says he has to go there anyway, so. Jimmy Garvin's got to go. Okay, Jimmy Garvin has been eliminated. Gone. I'm sure he's heartbroken.
Yeah, hate. I'm sure that he is.
Yeah. All right, there's Simmons and Rude. Foreshadowing. Oh, wait.
Yep.
He went through the ropes to ring two.
Oh.
Really?
Guys.
Okay, now here's the question. If you know that's how you get eliminated, why are you running towards the ring? Why aren't you just sitting up in the ropes and running the other way? Oh, Sting and Rude. Good. Now they got everybody's attention.
These two do not like one another.
And they both go out and into the other ring. All right. Okay, so who's left in ring one? Kazmaier's hugging Abdullah the Butcher. Luger and Vader, who are stable mates, are in ring one.
Hmm.
Now that's awkward. You would think Harley would be getting involved here and saying, hey, can we work this out now?
Yeah, he is. He's...
Okay, but yeah. All right, so here we go. Somebody's got to get eliminated here. Oh, yep. Luger's getting killed by his own guy here.
Sure is.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Yep.
There's no honor among thieves.
That's right. No, Vader's going for that Battle Bowl ring, which means, as near as I can tell, absolutely nothing.
Means a lot in the history of this business.
Oh, well, it's the only one of its kind. So there you go at this point. All right. Now, if they had just said, hey, winner of this gets a title shot at Super Brawl, how hard would that? And if Luger wins, he doesn't have to defend the title at Super Brawl. Oh, look at that, Luger. Right. Look at the power of Luger.
Oh, my.
I mean, that would have taken like 15 seconds to think of, though. Instead, we have to come up with three different sets of rules for how to get it with somebody out of the one battle royal and then the second battle royal. All right. This is fun,
okay,
though.
Okay, so Luger is the last man standing in his ring.
In his ring, yeah. So he's one of them. So he's going to be one of the last two. And whoever survives this other ring will fight Luger in a match to determine who gets the Battle Bowl ring.
I'm picking Bagwell.
Yeah, clearly he's the guy here.
He's young. He's
and yeah, Jim Ross on cue just said, "I'm amazed Bagwell's hung on as long as he can." You know, he's a rookie. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. There we go. All right. No, we need a blindfold battle royal. And yes, I did book one once, so I know how these work.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I'm not kidding.
That was an interesting choice.
That, you know, well, the one guy who was the biggest, you know, jobber in our company won the blindfold battle royal, and fans popped.
All right.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. Bagwell's going toe-to-toe with Steve Austin. How do you like that? How do you like that? Okay, now this is the WCW director's awful decision here. We're going to show the same stuff from three different angles.
I was going to say.
Arn Anderson's out. Dustin's out, courtesy of Austin.
Oh, there's Dustin.
It's time for everybody to abandon ship. Ooga. Curtis Hughes is twitching on the ground. That's always good. Like, just get out of there. They're just like, just get out of there. Leon, just get out of here. Santa Claus is in the front row. I didn't see that earlier.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah.
He's looking great, by the way.
Yes. He's either Santa Claus or Harvey Whippleman or both.
Yeah.
All right, so it's Rude and Austin and Sting and Steamboat. Yeah. And by the way, that's the main event of the Clash in January of 92. Sting and Steamboat against Rude and Austin. And it was great.
That's right, Aaron.
That entire show was pretty good, actually. Okay.
I was saying, Pat, have you ever seen Santa and Harvey Whippleman in the same place at the same time?
Well, you know, now that you mention it, I don't think I have.
Okay.
There you go. I know somebody who's sorry that they couldn't be guest host. All right, well, maybe next week. All right, now I got to get this stuff done here. Okay. All right, here we go. Rude and okay. Now you don't need the three. Now you don't need the three camera angles anymore. Hello.
Yeah, there's really no point to that.
Hello, morons.
I submit you did not need them in the first place.
Yes. Is this Keith Mitchell? Can I blame this on Keith Mitchell? Because I like blaming things on Keith Mitchell. Okay. Oh, wait. Abdullah's in the match? Oh, no. No. What are they talking about Abdullah?
I was going to say, are you seeing things, Pat?
No, I think he was saying, I thought Tony was saying that Abdullah's still in the match, and I didn't think he was. Okay, but Austin's gone now, and now it's time for Steamboat to Steamboat's going to skin the cat because that's what he does.
No, he's not. No, he's not. He's clearly out of this.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, dirty play by Rude. It's almost as if there's going to be a feud between Rick Rude and Ricky Steamboat.
Yeah.
There is. Oh, there we go. Oh, and Jim Ross is outraged. Not only did he cheat to eliminate Ricky Steamboat, He attacked Sting for no reason.
Well, it's really not right.
No, it's not. No, it's not. But I mean, as opposed to the W, as opposed to the WWE announcer system of, well, you know, you're supposed to do this by any means necessary. So really, you can't blame Rick Rude for cheating against Ricky Steamboat and then beating up Sting for no reason.
If you wouldn't do it yourself, you're an idiot.
That's right. Okay, here we go. Sting and Luger. Yeah, there's fans screaming at Rick Rude in the front row.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't beat that. All right.
There was heat, baby.
Heat. Think of the heat, Daddy. All right, Sting and Luger. Luger and Sting, former best friends. Mm-hmm. And here we go. In fact, they were best friends in like 7 months prior in 91. Yeah, they were best friends.
They owned a gym together, didn't they?
They did, actually.
Yeah.
Okay. Luger. Yep. All right. There we go. Boom. And, of course, now they're not smart enough to mention the steel plate in the forearm. Actually, I think the steel plate in the forearm came after this, though, right? He was in a motorcycle accident.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. He got injured when he started up with the WBF. Yeah.
And they made it part of his character, which I thought was smart.
That's right.
Okay, here we go. Oh, Sting. Yeah, Sting's actually doing babyface stuff. I've criticized him before when he hasn't, but, you know. Oh, he's selling. I mean, you know, it's not, he's not selling like he's dead, but then again, he's not supposed to.
Oh, right.
Although you think Sting and Luger would have called each other and not both worn the yellow tights.
I was just thinking the same thing. They look like a tag team.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, so, yeah, and, you know, Sting at the end of a long match after he's had the face paint slapped and beaten off of him. All right, Nick Patrick with his mullet is in the ring.
That's right. Two mullets and a rat tail.
Yep. That's about as 1991 as it gets.
It really is.
Yeah. Boom! All right. Okay. Here we go. Luger's just toying with him instead of trying to finish him off.
Man, Luger sure looked like a million bucks, didn't he?
Always, always did.
Yeah.
Except like the last couple of years of WCW, where he just, you know, he started to get that aging bodybuilder look to him.
Yeah.
I mean, you knew he could work, but it's just like, yeah. Oh, Harley Race, yes. Because if you got Harley Race, why not have him do spots?
Why not have him take a bump? Good God.
Well, this is before he was in that car accident. Yep.
Still, he was how
old? I mean, he looked like he was... he looked the same age for like 25 years, so...
I was going to say, when he was NWA champion, he looked like he was 50.
Yep. I don't know. That's a good question. I'm going to have to look this up. But the late Harley Race, God love him. I mean, people just love that guy, you know?
Yeah.
There we go. Harley Race at this point is 48.
Oh, my gosh.
He'd be 48 and made in WWF now. He'd be main eventing.
That's right.
He just passed away last year. Oh, well.
He'd be in a six-man tag on AEW. Right?
Exactly. This is not.
Yeah.
So he retired, and he'd only retired like, 90? 90 he was still trying to wrestle, so yeah. So he's not that far removed from being a wrestler at this point. They were just looking for something for him to do, and they made him Luger's manager. Because, I mean, he's Harley Race, and he can still cut a promo, and he can still bump.
Wasn't there a story they were going to cut Harley Race and Luger?
Yes. Yes, Luger stepped up and said no. Yeah. Said no, don't do it. Yeah. And so that was back. Of course, after Luger quit, I don't think they were that. Well, they kept him. Well, they did keep him around to manage Vader. So, yeah. But anyway, I mean, he was a good fit with Vader, though. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. There aren't a lot of stories about Luger being, you know, a real stand-up guy or anything. So when you hear one like that, it makes makes you see him in a better light, to be sure.
Right. Well, I think I think the word about Lex is he was loyal to his friends, which is, you know.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunately a rarity if you're, you know, if you're at a high level in the business.
Absolutely. Harley Race has taken more bumps than has Lex Luger.
Well, yeah. I mean, Lex Luger is a character. He's not, you know, he's not built to take a lot of bumps.
Right.
Okay, here we go. Oh, yes. Okay. There we go. Oh, yeah. All right. So Jim called them WCW stars, and Tony corrected him and said they're both superstars. Thanks, Tony. Thanks, Tony.
With a lowercase s, though.
Right. Oh, I guess so. I guess this isn't a match where you, like, try to pin them. I guess you're trying to throw them over the top rope, which completely defeats the purpose of what I... Never mind. Why do I bother?
I don't know that.
Oh, I like how they put the WCW flags at the other end of the arena where you can't see them because all the fans are sitting in front of them.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Hey. All right. Here he goes. No. Oh, come on. Actually, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with it. Yeah, that's fine. He doesn't, you know, he has to work to get rid of Luger. Okay. Yay.
Well, there you have it.
All right. Sting is your winner of the first Battle Bowl. And nobody deserved it more than Sting.
Nope.
Okay.
And Sting, he does this. He does that.
He's big and he's bold and he's quick as a cat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Crowd loves it.
Well, Sting's the guy. I mean, 91, you know, end of 91, Sting's the guy because Flair's gone and Luger's got leaving. So there's, you know. So if you're paying Sting that kind of money, you might as well go with him. And the people, and you're right, the people are into him. I mean, is there another guy that's more over in that company? Is a good guy that you chose right now? No. Harley Race, yeah. Sting backs down Harley Race, sort of. Yep. All right. Well, he looks. Oh, there we go. Yeah. And, you know, I'm okay with, you know, Sting in that era. He's not the best. He's not the best promo guy, and everybody knows it. But as long as he's, like, you know, authentic when he takes the microphone, I think that's the important thing.
Absolutely, I agree.
Yeah. Instead of having, you know, instead of giving him a 400-word promo that's scripted and you have to memorize every line.
Right.
I mean, are you going to ask Sting to memorize lines?
Ha.
No.
I am not.
No. All right. All right, let's see. The WCW t-shirts, always kind of, you know, crap. I don't know what
t-shirt. Yeah, there were a lot of bad ones.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, probably the first thing they should have done when TBS took over is to fire whoever was making the t-shirts.
Yeah.
But they didn't. All right, I like Jim Ross's tux. That's nice. I like the tuxes. Although the pocket square is supposed to match the tie. I mean, that's kind of the point of... Oh, well. There we go. All right, let's... Oh, we need credits. That's right. It's a WCW pay-per-view. Where are the credits? Jim Hurd. Yep. Virgil Runnels, if you will. Ross and Giovanni, Keith Mitchell, Craig Leathers is the director. He sucks. Bob Wright, Dan Bynum, Nick Fancher, a bunch of guys I never heard of. More people I've never heard of. Trish Regan. Wow, she made it all the way from WCW to Fox Business. Amazing. Jackie Crockett, cameraman. Okay. Neil Pruitt. Yep. Pre-production, production manager, production runner. Okay. All these people, you think they'd be able to put on a good show?
Yeah, you would think so.
Pyrotechnicians, riggers, carpenters, Doug Dillinger. You got to put the caterer in there. I mean, don't you kind of wish that every once in a while WWE would do credits like this?
Absolutely.
Special thanks to the crew of the Norfolk Scope Arena. I think that's just nice. And the TV crew dined at Uncle Louie's in return for this plug. All right. All right. World Championship Wrestling and Turner Home Entertainment. Well, I was entertained.
Yeah.
And you were entertained. So there we go.
Bored of wrestling podcasts, but still want a little bit of wrestling talk? Well, It's Usually Hello is the show for you. We've got music debates, we've got comedy bits, we have some wrestling talk, we've got watch-alongs, we've got actual celebrity guests. Check out It's Usually Hello, the podcast, on YouTube and on iTunes, and all your best podcast and listening devices. It is, without a doubt, the funniest show in the history of podcasting, allegedly. And that's not just my opinion, that's also the fake opinions of the fantasy people that I see 24/7. Don't forget to leave the 5-star review, because there's only so many fake accounts one person can make.
We would like to thank Gregoire Lourmet for the use of his track Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website musicepique.com, musicuee-epique.com.
All right, so moving forward, let's go to what happened. Well, actually, hold on. Did I ever find out, did we ever make it to the 92 newsletters here on this computer to find out what the heck? Well, anyway, let's actually go to what happened next, Ken. I think that's probably something that people would be more interested in than my thoughts. All right, so what happened after this? Well, after this, this was Sunday. So Monday, of course, WCW had a show, and it wasn't a TV taping. They had a random house show in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Now, Ken, you might recall that Chattanooga, Tennessee was the home of the Halloween Havoc 91 pay-per-view. So they're coming back to the arena 2 months later, right? Fresh off a pay-per-view. Mm. And during Christmas week, which is supposed to be your big business week, would you like to take a stab at what the attendance was?
1,300.
Oh, 1,800, but you were close. All right. Wow. Well, on that show, the tag team champions, Ricky Steamboat and Dustin Rhodes, beat the team of Arn Anderson and Bobby Eaton, who they'd be feuding with for a little while there. And the U.S. champion Rick Rude defeats Sting by disqualification. That sounds about right.
That's been a good one.
That's a Monday night there. Also on Monday night, this is back before the Monday Night Wrestling Wars, the A Show was in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And on that, for WWF, and on that A Show, it was The Undertaker defeating Hacksaw Jim Duggan and Randy Savage defeating Ricky Steamboat. That's uh-huh. Wonderful. The B Show, Ken, was in Bangor, Maine.
Hey!
December 30th, 1991. The B Show in Bangor, Maine. The Intercontinental Champion, Bret the Hitman Hart, defeated Ted DiBiase by disqualification. And in the main event, it was Ric Flair beating Roddy Piper by countout.
Guess what, Pat? I was at that show.
You were?
I was, just as you were describing it. I absolutely remember Bret Hart wrestling DiBiase. DiBiase had Sherry with him.
Yeah.
I remember Piper and Flair doing their whole thing. Absolutely.
Okay, so a good time was had by all?
Yeah, good time was had by me, probably.
Yep, well, that's all that counts, really. And fresh off of that, yep. Okay. All right, here we go. I've got the... I've got the newsletter. Hold on. Yes, the back issue from the Starrcade 91 report, along with reviews by, I don't know, whoever. All right, and it's requiring a password for me to access the newsletter, of course. Okay. Well, yeah, this is going to be great. All right, so, Ken, now is the time that we're going to start thinking about what we're going to see on episode 319, which is coming up next week as we approach Halloween.
Oh, dear.
All right, let me go ahead and look at this here. Okay. Wow. All right, Wilbur Schneider died. People complaining about Mark Madden in the letters section. Well, duh. Let's see here. I'm still looking for the review of Starcade. Okay, here we go. Ray Keller's review of the show. Let's see. Okay, I'm looking for match ratings and to see if what Wade thought the match of the show was. And let's go here. Yeah. Okay, let's see. 2.5. Looks like, okay, so the Lex Luger and Arn Anderson tag match, 3 stars. Sting and Abdullah versus Pillman and Eaton, 3 stars. And what do you give for the battle? And the, there we go. The top match of the show was the Battle Bowl itself, which Wade rates at 3.25 stars. And Wade's final thoughts, a 4.5 out of 10. I can't give a thumbs up to a show with so much potential that delivered so little. There were so many intriguing matchups that could have been presented, like Pillman versus Liger, Arn versus Eaton, Steiner versus Steiner, Sting versus Pillman. Well, they did do Sting versus Pillman, but instead of having a great match, Pillman and Sting refused to fight each other. Okay. Yeah. Well, you get the idea.
Aha.
All right. So, Torch columnist analysis. Mark Madden gives it a 5 out of 10. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't Starcade. Starcade used to be and still should be the wrap-up of end-of-the-year angles, the staging of violent grudge matches, and a WCW world title match, a real world title match. Starcade 91 had absolutely no point to it. Bruce Mitchell, 2 out of 10. Best match, Luger and Anderson versus Zank and Taylor. Worst, Garvin and Bagwell versus Hayes and Smothers. Nah, come on, Bruce. Let's see. Ugh, remember when Starcade was a well-planned culmination of a year's worth of feuds? The only reason this premise was used at all is that management cannot plan more than a week ahead of it at a time. Oh, well, that's true. Chris Savisa, 4 out of 10 for the pay-per-view. And let's see. I thought the first two-thirds of the show were not good. The first 3 matches dragged down the event and showed the event's concept wasn't going to work. Instead, it took till the 4th bout to see anything worthwhile. It's a tribute to Jushin Liger that he can work with wrestlers like Kazmaier and Page and have the best match up to that point on the card. He liked Terry Taylor and Zink and Luger and Arn. That's good stuff. All right. Let's see. Hammond also closes out by saying, how many guesses do I get for what the main event of Super Brawl 2 will be? Well, yeah. That one was kind of obvious. So. All right. Yeah, I don't remember. I don't see. I'm looking for, like, the average score and all that, and I don't see it here. So I might not have. Yeah. Okay. But that's it. All right, so now comes the important time where we have to pick the next episode here. Okay, so let's take a look at what we have. All right, well, Ken, actually, I think maybe you should go last since you won the polling last time. Well, actually, you should go next to last. All right, let's look over. I'm looking at the list of all the matches submitted by our wonderful viewers, who we like a great deal. And our Patreon people, and you know, and anytime you just want to submit a match, just go ahead and send it to real, you know, on Twitter, Real Pat McNeil, or post it on the Facebook page, facebook.com/WaybackPlaybackPodcast. Pretty easy. And let's see, here we go. All right, and I got to dig this out of mothballs and look and see what we have. Okay, so this is October, right? And let's see, next week it's going to be October 18th. That sounds right. So for October
18th. Sure.
Okay, so shows in October. Ah, okay. Halloween Havoc 89. There it is right here. Somebody suggested it. So we're going to go ahead and put that one down. Halloween Havoc 89, you'll recall. Let's see, it's Luger defending the U.S. title against Brian Pillman. And it is also the Thunder Cage match. The Thunder Cage match with it's the cage with the electricity at the top so that people couldn't escape the cage. And it is Ric Flair and Sting against Terry Funk and the Great Muta, where you have to make the opposing corner throw in the towel.
Ah.
You remember that one?
This was the... I do remember this one.
Okay. So there we go. Now, I got to pick
something.
Believe
it or not.
Well, I believe you. Now, I got to pick something, and I'm trying to think of what would be good here. And, all right. Let's see. I might need... I'm thinking we need something old as well. All right, so October is, it could be associated with Halloween Havoc. I'll give you that. Or it could be associated with what we currently get every year, which is Hell in a Cell, right? Or it doesn't have to be Hell in a Cell. Mm-hmm. Just any sort of cage match will do, I think. But, yeah, let's see. Okay, so looking for shows with big cage matches. I think I got one for you. Let us go back to WWF Old School, Boston Garden, February 8th, 1986. And on that show, let's see. Let me see what the big match is. No. Okay, you got Randy Savage and Tito Santana. Tito Santana defending against Randy Savage for the Intercontinental title in Boston. And in the main event, inside the steel cage, because we need a cage match, I'm going to say Bruno Sammartino against Roddy Piper. Yeah. That's right.
Okay.
That happened. I don't think I've ever seen the whole show straight through, and probably a good reason for that. What else do we have here? Okay. The rest of the matches, Ricky Steamboat versus Don Morocco, that probably won't suck. Okay. We're good. All right. So what do you say, Ken? What say you?
Oh, God. What are the parameters? Do I have to pick something
anything
from a 15 certain
year,
month?
Anything 15 years old or older. And, I just try to do something that sort of makes sense or maybe something that features whichever wrestler passed away the most recently or something like that. But really... it's got to be available either on the network or YouTube. I suppose it could be from like Impact Plus or the ROH service, whatever that,
Yeah.
But something that's easily accessible.
Sure. Have you guys ever done WCW Future Shock?
Starrcade 89?
NWA. Yeah.
Okay. No, we have not. If we're gonna do Starrcade 91, I guess Starrcade 89 should also be there too. So, well, we got two WCW 89
right.
shows competing with each other. All right. So I guess now it's time to go to the randomizer, Ken. Let's see here. And as you know, thousands of choices on the randomizer, literally thousands of choices. Let's go ahead and let's go ahead and give the wheel a big spin. Okay, and we go round and round it go, and ECW, Hardcore TV, Mid-Atlantic, Mid-South, Clash of Champions, TNA, Asylum Shows, Nitro, and, Ken, don't know how to tell you this, but guess what we stopped at? If I can cue this up.
Here. I haven't fog yet.
Well, I'll tell you as soon as I can find this thing. Here we go. It's too much blood and not enough sky. Why am I the thorn in your eye? That's right. It's WWF Raw. And it's Raw from the era when, of course, Raw is war. Yes. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, yes. If I can get this to stop playing now that I've got it to play, life will be really good. Okay. All right. So, yes. WWE Raw is war. And it's not just any Raw is war. Well, it might as well be. But it is Raw from April the 12th, 1999. Ken, so it's Big Show versus Christian, and in the main event for the WWF Tag Team titles, X-Pac and Kane defend against the team of Triple H and Test. Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow, that's some big
deal.
That's going to be, that's from that era, yeah. So we got two 89s, an 86, and a 99. You know what? I'm kind of curious to see how that one's going to go.
Sure.
Paul goes
I hope
up.
Future Shock. That's all I can say.
But yeah, Starrcade 89 Future Shock. I should probably explain what that is. That year for Starrcade, they decided to do an Iron Man tournament and an Iron Team tournament, which was like a round-robin tournament of the top four tag teams and a round-robin tournament of the top four singles wrestlers. So, yeah. Yep. So it's Flair, Luger, Sting, and Muda as the singles wrestlers. And it's supposed to be the Road Warriors, the Steiners, Doom, and the Skyscrapers as the tag teams. However, I want to say that Sid Vicious got injured. So they had to scrap the Skyscrapers and replace them with the Samoans, Samu and Fatu.
Yep.
Okay, so that's pretty good, actually. Actually, I like that. Yeah, that.
There we go.
Samoans, that sort of goes with the theme. If they, this month is all about the Samoans. All right. So those are your big matches, and of course you can. And of course, if you want to vote in the poll, please visit us on Twitter. I'm at RealPatMcNeil. Jim Valley is at Jim Valley, and send him your best wishes. And Ken is on Facebook and Instagram at KenAndTech, KenAndTech.com. He's on Twitter, but he doesn't like it very much, so don't bother him there. Facebook.com/WaybackPlaybackPodcast. And, of course, you can leave your 5-, 6-, or 7-star reviews for us on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, or wherever your pods are cast. It really doesn't matter. And if you'd like to know more about Scott Steiner, Ron Simmons, Tommy Rich, Lex Luger, or Sting, you can visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, Wrestling Observer, or check your local library app because they're all in books. Ken.
That is right. Absolutely. So, folks, vote for Future Shock. That'll be the best one, I promise. And you can see it, or hear it, I should say, here next week. Same way back time, same playback channel.
Hey, vote for The Garden, February 8th, 1986. We haven't done a WWE old school for a while, and I think we're due. And where else are you going to see George the Animal Steel against Tiger Chung Lee? Okay, maybe not. Anyway. Wow. All right. Anyway, thank you very much for listening to the show. Hi, Jim. Hi, Carrie. We hope that Jim is back on the air with us as soon as possible. We will keep trying to line up guest hosts. If you haven't guest hosted yet in Jim's absence, this is your chance until Jim is better, which we really hope is soon. Until then, yesterday is history. Tomorrow's a mystery. Next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.